Welcome to the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. This is the show for business owners in their 40s and 50s who deeply desire a business that serves the market strong, and they also deeply desire to finish strong personally. I'm your host, Scott Kochenour, and I'm glad you're listening. This episode with Steve McKee will be pivotal, I think, if you're a business owner and someday want to succeed and get out of your business, either selling your business or owning it, but not run the business. In any event, you have a transaction that will be in your future where you are no longer going to be the owner, the runner of your business, but you're going to be stepping back and doing something else. Steve, you'll notice he creates a greater context than just the transaction of a succession plan. We will talk about transition. We'll also talk about trajectory and the change in perspective when it comes to your ego. These are all fantastic points that I don't want you to miss. So let's get right into the conversation with Steve. And so you will find Steve at stevemckee.com, and I will put it in the show notes. You can see the bio of Steve. Steve, it's been a pleasure talking with you over the years, and we've already done a podcast before, an episode before. It's great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here. Oh, yes.
Okay, so you've written a book called Turns, which is interesting because you have just made a significant turn in your life, retiring from the company that you founded. Let's just talk a little bit about that retirement, or would you even call it retiring?
I don't like the word. It's kind of the natural word. I don't like it because my last day was the day before Christmas, but I'm busier than ever. So I'm thinking of it as a reignition, a shift in my life. But I sold the company that I had founded 27 years ago, and it was the right time, and it was a really good thing to do. So I'm very excited about the next phase of my life in the third or the fourth quarter, however you want to put it.
That's right. And for the listeners, just to let you know, we're recording this episode about a month after your last day. So it's been a month. How is it? What's it like? It's been a month.
I haven't had a nap yet. Actually, I was hoping for some time off, but I had a speech the first week of January and another one the second week of January and a consulting engagement the third week of January, and we're off to the races. So
okay,
it's an adventure. Okay. My wife and I are calling it a great adventure. We don't exactly know what's going to happen, but so far, so good.
Great. So you wrote a book called Turns. Let's talk a little bit about the basic message of the book first.
Yeah, the subtitle of the book is Where Business is Won and Lost. It's a business book, but it's more than a business book. And the idea is I wanted to look at, so my company has done a lot of work in the realm of turnarounds. That's where the idea came up. And I wanted to look at turns from a metaphorical perspective. So I actually spent about a year doing research into the nature of physical turns, like the physics of actually turning a car or a bike or turning on your toes. And then looked into turns in history, turns in business, turns in politics, turns in commerce, turns in sports. And it was just a fascinating thing how it all came together, because there are certain principles that are true of every turn, physical, historical, metaphorical, you name it. And when I realized that, when that clicked in my mind, I knew I was on something.
Yeah, it was a great read. I remember reading it thinking, oh, I'd never thought of turns in this context. And then you hit another one. Oh, I never thought of that either. And it's like just going through a new awareness after a new awareness is a fascinating read. So how did that turn that you took in, you founded a company, now you're no longer there. How did that turn relate to or bring to life the concepts that you present in the book?
Yeah, it's really interesting because we had founded the company 27 years ago out of a failed succession plan. My partner and I, Pat Walwork, we were trying to buy the previous company we worked at, and it fell through. And a lot of destruction that came from that. A lot of economic value was destroyed. There were some relationships that were very damaged. And so we decided that when it came our turn, whenever that would be, we were going to do it right. So we always had an eye on the turn that would eventually come to us. You know, at the time it was literally decades away. We always had an eye on that. And I think it's a great example of a turn, because if you think about turning in a car, which everybody can relate to, sometimes you come to a sharp turn that you didn't expect, and it's terrifying, and you could die, right? You go up on two wheels or get thrown into the door. But if you see a turn coming, no matter how treacherous it appears, if you know that it's coming and you can prepare for it, you can prepare to make the turn. And so we had a long runway of looking at what was going to happen in the eventual turn when we stepped out of the company. And it's funny, because as I did the research and I wrote the book, I was reflecting upon all of this. And it's just another example of all of the principles that come true in a turn. You know, there's a one of the principles is the principle of the moment, that every turn has its time. And I left the company at the exact right time for me and for the company. But that took some preparation to know what it was. There's another principle, the principle of the cause. You know, that people aren't the cause of every turn, but we can be a cause in every turn. And certainly, I was the driving cause, one of the driving causes in this turn of me turning over my company. So it just was layer upon layer. It was like I was writing a play-by-play narrative of the turn I was going through as I was writing the book.
Is there anything that surprised you about the shift from being the founder to now being speaker, you know, the whole shift from your life?
I think I'm learning that. I think I'm experiencing it. I still feel, when I wake up, I still feel a little bit like maybe I'm on vacation. You know, that feeling when you go on vacation and it takes a couple of days to decompress, that's sort of the zone I'm in. And as I say to myself, not only do I not have to go into work, I can't go into work, not to that place anyway. And it's kind of fun. I think it's going to take me, I mean, it's been 40 years that I've, you know, in my career. So I think it's going to take me some time to adjust and decompress. And I'm looking forward to it.
You would consider this a success, right? In your succession plan?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Without question. As you know, most succession plans fail. And there are a variety of reasons for that. Yeah, I learned it the hard way as a young man, you know, going through it. And then over the course of the following 25 years, I saw a lot of it and even consulted many companies on their own succession planning and learned a lot about what works and what doesn't and why things fall through. There's so many reasons. So yeah, it's the fact that the company is thriving and going to thrive exceedingly without me is a good thing. There's a little ego check in there, but it's kind of like, you know, you want your kids to do better than you are. What else would you want? I'm excited about the next decade of my life, and everybody has one, and that's success.
Yeah, a lot of owners struggle with an identity crisis. The fact that their identity, unintentionally, they've attached their identity to their vocation, their career. And when they make a significant shift like this, in my case, it was I lost the career. We had to close the business. And so I'll use the phrase forced succession, but I don't know that that's really how it characterizes it well. But I struggled then with identity far too long because I had attached my identity to this career. And when the career was gone, my identity was essentially gone. It wasn't, but I sensed it was. Did you have any trouble with identity?
Yeah, I did. I recall a few years ago, before this became really real, I spoke with a CEO who had been going through it. And I said, what advice do you have? And he said, are you ready to set your ego aside? I thought that was really interesting advice. So yes and no. On the one hand, it's funny when you're sitting in the back of the room, you know, so I had nurtured up some young talent and promote, and there was a new president of the company, my successors. So they were effectively running the company with my assistants. And when you're sitting in the back of a room, and in a staff meeting, and the president of the company says, we're not doing it the old way anymore. You know, you kind of want to say, excuse me, the old way is still here. And so there are some, I probably got my feelings hurt once every week or two. Nobody intended it. No, of course not. But that's how it felt. On the other hand, knowing that this was happening, and this is part of the turn and part of anticipating the turn, I decided that this was going to be the capstone achievement of my career. That if I could create a company that could not only live on but thrive without me, then that is the ultimate success. So I changed my frame of reference from I'm out, I don't have an identity anymore, to I did it, we achieved it, I succeeded. And so there's a real sense of accomplishment there as opposed to a sense of loss, if that makes sense. And I am looking at the company now like, a child or a young eaglet that has flown from the nest and just can't wait to see how they thrive. And I'm going to take full credit for that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, right. And you, very well, you should. I mean, the phrase that jumped out of that for me was you changed your perspective. In other words, I read somewhere along the difference between perception and perspective. And perception is where we go wrong. We hold on to a specific way of doing things and try to understand it from that vantage point. But when you can step out and change your perspective, then you can look at things through totally different eyes. And what a powerful story for someone who might be listening to this, who is wrestling with that very thing. They're in those meetings that they seem like barbs against you. You know, no longer are you needed. You're kind of the old guy or old lady in the room now. And the younger guys are starting to talk. And at first you're thinking, wait a minute, this is my company. This isn't your company. But then you stop and change your perspective and say, I have a different role here. I'm not seeking to succeed. I'm seeking to help them succeed. And so it's no longer a barb. It's natural.
You said it yourself. I'm no longer needed. There's two ways of saying that. I'm no longer needed. That's sad. Or I'm no longer needed, which means I can do other things. It's just how you say it.
It's how you see it. Yeah, you change your perspective. That is, I mean, we could probably finish the episode right now with that one concept. As a founder, when you're considering the succession of your company and you will no longer be there, your ego check, it's a change in perspective. So seek the change in perspective. Turn your perspective to another perspective. And it will go
see
well
the turn
with you.
Coming and see the turn coming and look forward to what's around the bend. But also navigating the turn is a reward in and of itself because succession is a very difficult turn. So if you navigate it successfully, you won.
I wanted to go back anyway. I'm glad you said that. I wanted to go back to the see the turn coming. I think there are a lot of founders who are just assuming that, yeah, probably this year, I'll step down and let the company run itself, right? First of all, wake up. That's not going to, rarely will it be a successful turn if you're just thinking 6 months, 9 months, even 12 months down the road. You got to be thinking long term. If I could take you back to 3 years, 5 years before this past turn, what would you say would be good advice for someone who is considering a turn, succession planning? What should they be doing now, 5 years out?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe answer it in two ways, one sort of psychologically and one practically. Psychologically, you have to recognize that, we're all mortal. Sooner or later, you're going to be gone. And whether your motivation is to make sure that you and your family are going to be okay, that's fine. Or recognize that if you don't prepare for this, a lot of people are going to be hurt. When somebody suddenly dies or gets a cancer diagnosis or whatever the case may be, if the succession plan is not in place, a lot of people are going to be hurt. They could lose their jobs, So it's our responsibility and our obligation to do something. So I would say if you're that far out, first of all, be convinced of that. Secondly, I think there's a way to think about this. There's three T's, okay? There's a transaction, which is what we all tend to focus on, that there will be a transaction one day and I will, I'll get my check or start my earn out or whatever that looks like. But that'll actually happen on a single day. You'll sign a document on at a specific point in time on a certain day. But the transaction usually is a period of weeks or months, if you think about those ones. But surrounding the transaction, there's a transition. And the transition has to begin long before the transaction, as you're building into your successors, their capabilities. But it also has to continue after the transaction, insofar as you are serving in a mentorship role. Some people might actually have a formal earnout provision. Others may not, but you're still mentoring the people. And so you've got a transaction, you've got a transition, and then this is really important. In order for the succession plan to work, the company needs to be on a successful trajectory. So you must be working for those 3, 5, 7, 10 years to ensure that the new management can help the company fly and that they're not dependent on you. What I've often said is, you know, when you found a company, you do every job in the company. And over the course of time, you give up one job and then another and then another until the point where the last job you're doing is helping the company, but it's not reliant on it. And that's the position I got to. I was providing great economic value to the company for the last few years, but it was no longer reliant on me, which allowed me the ability to step out. So trajectory, transition, transaction. All three of those things need to be considered, and it takes time.
So I would say, if I'm listening and I'm a founder and I'm thinking, you know, 3 to 5 years out, I'm going to transition, I actually need to add another 3 to 5 years. So my 3 to 5 year plan is really a 6 to 10 year plan.
It really depends a lot on whether you have the person or people who are going to succeed you in place. If they're there, it's never short, but it can be a shorter time period. If you're considering the ultimate transition and you don't know who your successor is going to be, that's a problem. That's you want to start on right away. You want to identify. And this is true whether you're going to do an internal succession plan like I did, or even if you're going to sell the company. The way to get economic value for your company is not to have it all be on your shoulders. So you still have to have effective management in place who can run the show. Either way, it's really important that you identify and raise up the people who can run the show without you. And that does take time. In our case, it was a full 10 years. It was 10 years from the moment I identified my successor to the moment that I left. And a lot happened over the course of that period.
So even in the situation where there might be a listener who is not considering selling, but they want to own, but not run it, they want to own the company or retain ownership, but not run it, and therefore create a little more freedom, but not necessarily sell it, still holds true. And probably just as important is who is that second chair person, that person who's going to run the company in your absence.
Years ago, a man said to me, "Have you built a company or have you built yourself a job?" And I realized that at the time I had built myself a job, which was fine.
Yeah.
But if you build yourself a company, that means you don't need to work in the company. You can still own it or not. And that's the
right.
key. We all have ego. I have my ego, and I love being the guy that everybody depended on. I love being the center of attention. I love being the star of the show that swoops in and saves the day. But again, I changed my perspective. I'll never forget the first time my successor, I gave him the opportunity to lead a client project. And he did very well. And I remember when he was presenting to the client and I was sitting in the back of the room, they loved it. And I literally felt jealous. I thought,
sure.
No, that's my job to be the hero. But then my very next thought was, hey, wait a minute. If this guy could do that, maybe, and sure enough, he was my ticket out. So it really is, there's humility involved all along the way. Great deal of trust, great deal of time, great deal of effort. But it's like any turn. As I said, if you're a reasonable driver, there isn't a turn on a road anywhere that you can't navigate if you're prepared.
I was just speaking with a client today who has made this transition to a degree, and we affectionately call it the knight on the white horse syndrome. He absolutely loved being the guy that the company would call and say, "Hey, we got ourselves into a bind. Can you help us?" And that the ego, that sense, and I think there's some validity to it because you really are good at what you do and you are needed and you serve a purpose and you come in on the white horse and you save the day and everybody looks to you and says, great, that's fantastic. But my conversation with my client today, we've been working together for about 8 years now. He is finding greater joy than he ever dreamed of as he watches his clients praise his people who have learned to come in and fix and serve the need at the moment, not him. And that is just like an exponential enjoyment
to have the feeling without doing the work.
Exactly. It's like having your cake and eating it too, whereas the little that you let go that was ego building, you have so much more to hold on to, grab hold of. It's a shift. And again, it's a turn.
Yeah, and I would say, even in the short time since I've been gone, I am still getting some ego gratification from the new things I'm doing. It's just in a different way. I didn't want to retire and play golf or, I guess, pickleball is the thing now. I still want to contribute to the world. I have a lot to contribute, and I can still get some of those feelings, but in a different way. But if you want to think of it as I've sort of banked the success, I don't mean financially, I mean psychologically, I've banked the success of my previous organization. And that's just, it's very rewarding to reflect on. It's kind of like writing a book. People ask me about writing a book. One of the glorious things about writing a book is that once it's published, nobody can take it away from you. I mean, it might not sell, it might not, but nobody can take it. It's an accomplishment that's there on the shelf for all time. It's done. And it's such a sense of accomplishment that you get from doing that. Same thing with transitioning out of an organization.
Were there any moments in the process over this last 10 years where you thought, oh crap, this is not going to work?
Not so much that. I did wonder when were we going to get to the point where it would financially work, because we're a small, closely held company. In order for it to make sense, it had to work financially both for the outgoing generation and the incoming generation. That's where the trajectory piece comes in. And so we really worked hard on helping ensure that the company will thrive into the future, which, by the way, I fully credit the incoming generation for that, because they saw things I couldn't see, and we made some changes, and the company is doing better than ever, which is another point of humility that I'll gladly take, because the company's doing better than ever. So I didn't think it wouldn't work. I wondered how long it would take. Yeah. But all the more reason to get started early.
I think the underlying message here is start soon, start now, build it out. You certainly don't want to be the anchor that holds back the company that they have to rebuild.
If you start now and you do it wisely, there's no, it's not like it's a stopwatch where, or an alarm clock where in 5.5 years from now you have to leave. That's up to you. But if you start to build the building blocks and put the pieces in place, it'll give you the option. You want to have the option. And there's, whether you want to exit or not exit, whether you want to sell or not sell, if you have a strong management team in place and you're compensating them well and you have a good relationship and all those sorts of things, you have options. And that's what you want in business.
If we delved into a typical organization that a person has founded and is considering a succession down the road, we mentioned people and how important a strong group of people, a strong team is. What other elements would you say are a part of the foundational parts of making a business run and succeed well?
Yeah, you've talked with people on the podcast about brand, which is the way people understand the company in the marketplace. It's very important to get that right. And I would add to that business model. So one of the reasons succession plans go wrong is because the business environment continues to evolve all the time. And typically when a founder founds a company, they build a business model that works sort of by definition if they're going to be in this position. And they feel comfortable with that business model. But that business model, like the company, is aging. And what typically happens is the founding generation is basing their value of the company on the existing or old business model, success they've had over the past 10 or 20 or 30 years. The incoming generation is looking at what the next 10 or 20 or 30 years looks like from a business model standpoint. And that's where often there's a disconnect. So we were able to work together on what the new business model should look like. That was part of my setting my ego aside, so that the company was set up to succeed for the next 10 or 20 years. Now, there's no guarantees, obviously, but you got good people in a good business model with a well-respected brand that has taken some time to develop. And those are really the key. So I had to both coach the incoming generation and be coached by the incoming generation, because, as I said, they see things that I can't, because they don't have the history I do. They asked questions that I wouldn't, some smart questions. And I had to say, I had to put a lot of stock, because I respect them very much. I had to put a lot of stock in what they think about the future, not necessarily just what I think.
That is fantastic insight, because as you're speaking, I'm also thinking about the what I have read and researched about buyers of companies. They don't care about the old business model. They care about the new business model going forward, not going, great, you had great success in the past, but the past is over. We're not buying the past, we're buying the future.
And having lived through the past is of the founder, you even subconsciously your perceptions of the value you're due is based on that. But the value you do is not based on that. It's based on the future, not the past.
Yeah, so that's another mindset going into a 3 to 5 year or whatever 10 year succession plan is be thinking forward, be willing to be reverse mentored, mentored by someone younger than you who sees things unlike you do, while at the same time not negating what brought the success up to this point, but it's a business model that looks back and forward.
One of the things I was feeling, and I kidded the guys about this at the end of last year, was I said to them, "Can I stay?" And I didn't really mean it, but I wanted them to know how excited I was for their future, because I genuinely am. Like, they are going to rock the world. I'm very excited for them. So I wanted to
Fantastic.
build their confidence up by just expressing that, even though I didn't really want to stay. There's a little piece of me that says, "I'd love to be part of this ride, but I'm going to view it from the outside."
That's a far cry from someone who says, I can't wait to get out the door and leave it to whoever to fix this and take it from here. I'm going to try to get as much money out of it as I can. Oh man, what a horrible way to leave a company. Steve, this has been fascinating. You and your book have made it. It's been very inspiring to me, and I would highly recommend it to anyone listening to this podcast to get that book called Turns, Where Business is Won and Lost. You'll find it on Amazon, but where can people find you online?
Now that I've left the company, I'm at stevemckee.com. How do you like that? I guess this is part of planning. When the internet first happened, I bought my name because I said someday I'm going to need it, the URL. So I own stevemckee.com, and you can go there and find me.
That'd be a good piece of advice to leave all of the listeners. If you own a company right now, if you can get your own name URL,
Yes.
you never know, right?
You're going to need,
I mean,
you
2 years
never
ago,
know.
would you have ever thought this would have happened, or 15 years ago, even?
No, I think it was like
It's
1995 or so that I said, I don't understand this thing called the internet, but I'm going to go get that.
Well, good for you. Steve, it's been a pleasure as always talking with you. I wish you all the best, and we're going to have you back on the show, because I would like to know a year from now what life is like post ownership of a business, if not sooner. All right.
So
Thank you
would
for
I.
your time.
Thank you, Scott.
But this has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. Here are a couple of next steps that you want to consider. Number one, subscribe to the show so you'll be notified of upcoming episodes. And secondly, share the show with a colleague. It's dedicated to mature business owners who want a great company and a fantastic personal fourth quarter themselves. I am so glad that you've listened to this episode. And until next time, here's to your business serving the market strong. And here's to you personally finishing strong. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. I take your time very seriously. Therefore, my pledge is to continue bringing you information and insight you need to be successful in your adventure as you finish strong. Be sure to check the show notes for the information related in this episode. Subscribe to be notified when new shows drop, and leave a review if you're so inclined. I'll talk to you next time.